うん。
Good afternoon. We have judiciary before us, and I'd like us to take roll call, please. Excused. Here. Thank you very much. Justice Kite, it's welcome to JAC.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And if you'd do us a favor and introduce your other members and staff so that we have new members and they kind of get familiarized with the process. You're our first group to hear from during the session, and maybe just give us a slight overview and then just start with your exceptional request.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I will do that. Mr. Chairman and Madam Chairman, our representatives from the Supreme Court today, we have the entire court here, as well as the our staff, which are Joanne Odendahl, our court administrator, who you will be hearing the most from, I can guarantee you, and Rhonda Munger, our deputy administrator. With me also here today are Justice Golden in the back, Justice Hill, Justice Burke, and Justice Hoyt. Also, we have District Judge Tom Campbell. And I think that's it. Judge Campbell is from here in the First Judicial District, and he has an issue to address when we're finished with the Supreme Court budget supplemental budget request. Am I missing anybody? No. And also, we also have Stephen Dreher, who is our IT manager. Many of you know and have worked with him. If any questions come up with in that regard, God knows I'm not going to answer them, so we will have Stephen. We have a very, hopefully, short, sweet request. I know that the supplemental budgets are the exception and not the rule, and we come only because we think it is an important request. It involves giving us the tools that we need to better manage the circuit judges or circuit court system, which is made up of both the circuit judges and the circuit court clerks. And we're asking for money to do an additional time study to make sure that we have the right information on the workload of those circuit court clerks. It fits into our current effort to try to run our system efficiently. We are, and Joanne can talk more about this, but we are trying to make sure that we're not overloaded with clerks where we don't need to be and where we're staffed properly, moving them around properly. To do that, we've got to have a good handle on what their workload is and how much time they spend on individual matters. It's a small request of $80,000 for this upcoming year, and Joanne can tell you how that fits into our long-term program, but we're obviously here to answer any questions you may have that may go beyond that. But with that little brief introduction, I will turn it over to Joanne Odendahl.
Ms. Odendahl?
Thank you, Chief Justice Kite. Madam Chair, if it's okay with you, I would like to explain to the new members a little bit about our budget, if I can. You will notice.
Can you move your speaker up closer to you, please?
There we go. Can you hear me now? We do have a separate branch budget from the executive branch. All of the district court budgets will be included with the Supreme Court budget. And as we go through here, if I can have you turn to the Supreme Court page 1 under the Supreme Court section, I would like to point out that there is a memo to you all from the Chief Justice. That memo always is always in the front of the Supreme Court budget, making recommendations for any requests from the circuit courts, our law library, all of the divisions within the Supreme Court. And under the district court section, under page 1 of the district court, you will see a memo to you all from the district judges budget review committee. Again, I point these out to you because the judges come to you with their recommendations from the judicial branch, and you will not see a letter from the governor making recommendations on the judicial branch as you work your budgets. Going on to page 6, I do want to point out again in the left-hand column all of the divisions under the Supreme Court. The items in blue that you see are the supplemental budget requests. That's what you have approved in the last biennium session. We do color code our work throughout this request so that it's easier for you to kind of pick out the most important information. There's a lot of information in black that, you know, you can read if you certainly have time to do so. What's the supplemental budget is always in blue, and then in the brown is all of the supplemental or the standard budget is in blue, the supplemental is in brown. Those items, I hope, stand out to you. The numbers correlate with all of the narrative that you will see as we go through this. Turning on to page, well, one thing I do want to point out, excuse me, Madam Chair, on page 6, you will notice our request for $80,000. It is a time study in our circuit courts for the circuit court clerks. However, it's not listed in the Circuit Court Division because of the nature of that request. We do put it in our administrative budget of the Supreme Court.
Why did you stick it in your 100 series as opposed to a, which I assume if you, did you intend for it to go in the 100 series to biennialize it, or is it going to be one time, or?
No, the one, it's not a 100 series, Madam Chair. Basically, that's our Division 100. And as we turn to page 9, you can see that the $80,000, the administration division, the 100 program, so to speak, division, we are asking for $80,000 in the 903, the professional fees. That is a one-time budget request that will drop out in the next budget session. Giving you a little bit of information, though, you should have received a handout. It's very colorful. Okay, this $80,000, now I've got them all, $80,000 to do the time study is basically, as Chief Justice Kite indicated, a tool that we work with. So when judges come to us and ask for additional personnel, they're not just automatically in our budget request to you all. We sit back and we look at this tool that has been devised, has been working for the last 10 or 12 years. And the last, it's been a few years since we actually did a time study, which requires our circuit court clerks to take approximately 2 months, and They go through and on a daily basis keep track of 10-minute intervals on a two-month period. All of that information is put in a database depending on what type of cases they're working on. For instance, if you look in the blue column, the case weight in minutes, that information that the clerks put together on a 10-minute interval, some cases may take longer. Citations, inputting citations is a very quick process. Sometimes processing garnishments in civil cases might take a little bit longer. Putting on civil cases may take a little bit longer. But in order to get a good determination of what it takes for a circuit court clerk to do certain processes, this is the tool we use. As we go through here, for instance, in Laramie County District 1, they may have had 763 small claims cases. Basically, on average, it takes a circuit court clerk 69 minutes to process that case. Now, it may be that in one day they've only processed a garnishment. It may be on another day they've input that case into the case management system. But collectively, that particular case took that clerk 69 minutes to process. Now, it may be different in smaller courts versus the larger courts. In the larger courts, we have enough employees, the processes are streamlined. The smaller courts, maybe one or two clerks, have to be able to go from interruptions from telephone calls, maybe a citation case that they're taking a payment on, back to a civil case. So a little bit more time may take place in the smaller courts. But all of that information from all of the courts is put together in a minimum, or excuse me, an average for those minutes comes into play. As you go down this workload study, and I'm going to turn this over to Rhonda Munger because Rhonda can explain this inside and out, and maybe answer a few more questions and explain it for you.
Madam Chairman, part of the reason we need to do a time study, and usually we do it on an average of 5 to 6 years. The last time we studied the judges was 2007. It was 2005 when we last studied the clerks. And each year we plug in the filing numbers, and that's what you see in the first column if you go down in Laramie County. They had 763 small claims cases, 4,714 civil cases, et cetera. We only do the time study every so often. First of all, it's very time-consuming for the clerks to take out for 2 months and measure every minute that they spend working on different cases. But then each year, we plug in the new filing numbers to those case weights, and that's how we come up with the workload. We haven't done the clerk's workload since 2005, as I mentioned, but, for example, in family violence cases, we measured them in 2005, but in 2006, the legislature changed the law to allow for protection orders to go up to a year instead of just 90 days, which is what they were before. So when we measured the clerks on those cases, the law was different. And now we believe it takes them more time because you do some custody, you do some child support. If it's going to be a year protection order, which is what is allowed, it takes more time to ferret those issues out. So that's why we believe it's time to do a new study. And that's just one example.
With respect to the $80,000, how do you expect to spend it? I mean, are you going to hire a consultant, or is this just extra IT work for you? Or
Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, we do hire a consultant. She has been doing the studies for both the judges and the circuit court clerks for the last 10 years. She does provide us the expertise to, she's a statistician and has a staff that takes all of the data that is put together, compiled by our clerks, and inputs that information. So we do not at this time have the staff to do this. We do, after the time study, Rhonda takes our statistics after every fiscal year and inputs that data and updates the actual assessment. As you can see on the bottom of this spreadsheet, if you go to the last page, you can see that we currently have 125 clerk positions. It also indicates that we have seven clerks overstaffed. Our seven clerks within our circuit courts overstaffed. We have four vacant positions at this time, and we do not plan to fill those vacancies because of the fact this assessment tool indicates that they did not need that position. So as the vacancy occurred, we're leaving it vacant. We have used one vacancy to hire a clerk who acts as a rover for us, travels throughout the state to help the courts that are short-staffed, and so that we keep on track of all of our cases and keep up to date as much as possible. We have a situation in Crook and Weston where one court, after a vacancy, was short a half a person. The other court was over a half a person. Since they share the same judge, we have the ability to use a circuit court half-time in one court and half in the other. We're trying to use our resources as most efficiently as possible. But the only way we can do that and continue to do that is to continue to update the time study based on all of the changes of the laws that have come into play, laws that will come into play in the next year or 2 years. So this is the tool that we use.
Sure. With respect to the narrative on page 9, you've got an assessment there with respect to using it to determine who's overstaffed and understaffed. Do you have a component that begins to look just efficiencies, and that is how to do it better throughout? Are you looking, saying, look, some courts do this work more quickly and better than other courts?
Madam Co-Chair, we do look at that. Actually, our rover clerk, as she is going out and working within the circuit courts, she's realizing some courts are working efficiently, and obviously some don't do the same type of processes. Now, that does come into play because we have every circuit court clerk keeping track of their time, and it's an average. Obviously, some of the courts who have, say, 13 or 14 people, those clerks can be specialized. They can standardize their process and move things more efficiently through their system. Again, the smaller courts, because of the interruptions and the variety of cases that two people may have to take care of, that process may take a little bit longer.
With respect to the electronic filing, do you have any clerks that are doing electronic filing, or is it all still paper at this level, at the circuit court level?
Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, right now we do not have any e-filing in our circuit court system, and Chief Justice Kite will make mention to that tomorrow in her State of the State. That is something that we're ready to go with. Our IT staff has been preparing software whenever they get the go-ahead from the Highway Patrol, the state's sheriff's offices and local law enforcement, but at this time we do not have e-citations. We do have e-payments, which all of a sudden is happening in the last week. Taking a credit card within the circuit court system is a very time-consuming process for our clerks, but again, we're trying to save time, save money, and get more money into the court in an easier way. So that is in pilot, and again, Chief Justice Kite will mention that tomorrow in her State of Judiciary.
Chairman, I think I sort of had in my mind that two different things, e-citation being part of the commission to try to make a seamless transition so when the officer plugs in the citation, it's electronic from there all the way through the time it hits your court system, and then separately the issue of whether or not you're going to electronic filing for your civil matters and your non-civils. Are you making any progress on, I guess the question on the e-citation, is it working? Are we saving time? And then are we moving towards any of the courts with respect to having the entire system electronic?
Madam Chairman, Mr. Co-Chairman, we have finished electronic filing in the Supreme Court. We are about halfway through in the district courts and hope to be finished with that by the end of next year, I think. Right, Stephen? Our plan is then to go to the circuit courts and establish electronic filing in the circuit courts. So right now there is essentially no electronic filing in the circuit courts. E-citations is just getting off the ground, and I do plan to talk about this a little bit tomorrow. But the Highway Patrol has, I think they actually did this with federal money, they have gotten their system up and will be ready to go sometime by midsummer, we're hoping. Our system is ready to take that electronic citation information, and that is going to be tremendous in terms of workload and efficiency once we're able to do that. Payment by credit card is also just barely getting started. In fact, I think it was this week was the first time in Laramie County, and they